This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Welcome to In Person with Dina Marie, a daily walk with Christ, our Blessed Mother, and the saints in our everyday lives. Guests include priests, religious, husbands and wives, sons and daughters, missionaries, authors, speakers, evangelists, and you. Explore the joy of the gospel as we share stories from the heart and how to navigate our journey of faith day by day. And now, In Person with Dina Marie on Mater Dei Radio.
Welcome to another edition of our in-person series. I'm your host, Dina Marie, and each weekday we come together at this time. It's our pilgrimage right here in the Pacific Northwest or wherever you may be listening across the globe or maybe in Poland today, tuning in at Mater Dei Radio online. We're so grateful to have this opportunity each and every day to come together and to share the good news, to really live out that gospel message. And the theme, as you've been hearing from these wonderful connections with our friends and family members in World Youth Day, is this theme of mercy. And those who are merciful will receive that mercy. And the Lord is calling us to really be merciful so that we can receive and be open to God's grace and mercy. In this Jubilee year, it's an extraordinary time for us in the church to continue to reflect deeper on our Catholic faith. Who is Jesus Christ for us? Maybe this is really a great invitation for you to go deeper into who Christ is for you and to come into a face-to-face experience with him. And you know, one of the most beautiful places we can be outside of the Holy Eucharist is how we prepare for the Holy Eucharist, and that is in confession, to really make that good confession. Pope Francis is really inviting us during this Jubilee of Mercy to really make that something that is so important to us, to go, to just get right into the arms of Jesus and to open up our hearts wide so we can receive his mercy. Well, along the way, during these programs, we love to share that journey of faith with one another. As we share our stories, we really invigorate the faith. We encourage one another that we have a story to tell, that God has a plan and a purpose in our lives, and we need to share that with others. We need to share that good news, that truth with the world that is so hurting. We're going to take our broadcast from from Oregon down to California. I was talking about Washington with our guest, Carlo Broussard, who had spent a little bit of time in Wenatchee, Washington for a couple of years, but he actually originally comes from Louisiana and has eventually come to the place of Catholic Answers. Many of you so familiar with Catholic Answers Live, their apostolate, really sharing the truth of Jesus Christ through the Catholic Church, and to be able to explain, to be able to share with their listeners, with those who read the blogs, who read the magazine, who get a hold of the tracts and the apologetic works, that they're able to share really the good news of Christ. And Carlos become part of that team. He's an active blogger at Catholic.com, now a full-time apologist, speaker for Catholic Answers. In fact, over the next week and a half, he'll be at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Carlsbad and also Ascension Catholic Church in San Diego. So if you happen to be out that area or you know some friends or family members out there, let them know. Catholic Answers on their website, Catholic.com, has a whole schedule of events that are going on in their local area, and then they're available on the internet. So for those of us here in Oregon, we can catch those presentations online. It's been fun to hear from Carlo some of the work that he's been doing with Catholic Radio, providing us with some of those great one-minute spots to hear about apologetics. We're really grateful for him sharing his gifts, and he wasn't always a Catholic apologist, so we're going to hear a little bit about that journey from being very well-skilled in the accordion to now sharing about Jesus Christ in the church. Good morning, Carlo. Thanks for joining us here at Mater Dei Radio.
Good morning, Dina. It's my pleasure. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, we're enjoying hearing you as one of the guests on Catholic Answers, so I appreciate the time and the fun and the opportunity that you give to answer so many great questions. I'd love to have you get started just telling us a little bit about where you're from. Take us back to Louisiana. Take us a little bit back to your own faith formation.
Sure, yeah. Well, for our listeners, I'm the Raging Cajun Apologist from Southern Louisiana. I grew up in a Catholic home. My mom sort of took the helm in our home of leading us in Catholic devotion as a family. She came to experience the Lord Jesus and his love and became a devoted Catholic in the late 80s, early 90s, and during my young boyhood experiences, I had some deep religious experiences. My mother, you know, she led the youth group at our local parish, and she would take us on these youth retreats. From what I remember, they were called at the time Youth 2000 retreats. And at these retreats, I had some very profound religious experiences of our Eucharistic Lord and being present with thousands of teens worshiping our Lord and praying, etc. And I can remember the witness of my mother, you know, praying her morning rosary and her morning prayers and listening to all these cassette tapes and these talks and stuff, which eventually I would come to realize would be very instrumental in my own faith journey. So my mother was the prime example and witness for religious faith in my home and planted those religious seeds, this religious sense within my heart, which eventually, unfortunately, would be eclipsed when I would start playing Cajun music in the nightclubs and stuff. So yeah, had a pretty solid Catholic home with my mother at the helm and wonderful religious experiences planted there by my mom.
Mm-hmm. Carlo, did you experience Catholic education? Were you involved in Catholic schools growing up?
Yeah, I went to Catholic school in my elementary years from kindergarten to eighth grade, then freshman and sophomore year in Catholic high school, and then I homeschooled myself my junior and senior year. And when my high school years, that's when I started playing the Cajun accordion. Actually, I started playing the Cajun accordion when I was 12. And then when I was 13, I had my own band and started playing in the bars and what we call the honky-tonks. And then I would play professionally from the time I was 13 all the way until I was 20 years old. But when I was in high school, I went to a Catholic high school, but I was playing Cajun music, and that was sort of my identity. That was who I was. I wanted to make a career out of playing Cajun music, which is possible in southern Louisiana. So I was trying to go toe-to-toe with some of my heroes and mentors and did a little traveling a few states here and there and was recorded a few albums as well and was trying to make that my full-time career because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be the Cajun store, like a rock store, only a Cajun store,
mm-hmm.
Which is possible in southern Louisiana because there's a market for it.
Yeah. We're talking with by phone Carlo Brassard, his website, carlobrassard.com, also Catholic.com, part of the Catholic Answers team. Now, for those of us here in the Northwest, we may not be familiar, and I'm raising my hand, with right. the Cajun accordion. Now, my father has a background in Bohemian, Czechoslovakian. They played the accordion more in that genre. Give us a sense of the culture. How is that really part of the culture where you grew up in Louisiana?
Yeah, well, the Cajun accordion is different than most people understand an accordion to be. It's not polka music, that's for sure. It is its own distinct, unique genre. Most people are pretty familiar with zydeco. Whenever you speak of zydeco music, it kind of rings a bell for people. Cajun music and the type of Cajun music that I played was a mixture of zydeco music, which is more of a Creole form of Cajun music, and then you had the folk Cajun music, but we played a mixture of the two along with rock and roll. So it was sort of a mix of rock and roll, Cajun music, zydeco, fun stuff. You know, it's the type of music that gets your toes tapping, right? Your foot tapping, and you want to get up and start dancing and have a good time along with all that good food in southern Louisiana. So the culture, the Cajun culture, is its own unique culture, a very fun culture. In fact, Lafayette, Louisiana, which was sort of the hub city nearby where I lived and grew up, was voted as the happiest city in the country. And I'm sure the food and the music has a lot to do with that, as well as the Catholic culture, because literally to be Cajun is to be Catholic, because the Cajun people who settled in Louisiana from Acadie and Canada there, they were all Catholic. That was a part of their heritage. So Catholicism runs deep in my roots and in my heritage as a Cajun.
Okay. So, Carlo, for you, because you had such a draw for music, did that connect with you in terms of your practice in the liturgy, at Mass, in parish life, this whole Cajun music? Was there a blending of that?
No, not initially.
Mm-hmm.
It was not for me. My religious life and faith life was totally separate from my music life. Now, my sister and my father, they were musicians. They played the guitar. And when I was younger, right when I started playing the accordion, or even before, they would play guitar in the youth choir, etc. But when I started playing the accordion and learning various instruments, I never incorporated it into my religious life. I would do so later, after I gave up music and came to the Lord. You know, I wrote a few songs here and there, some Christian Zydeco Cajun type stuff, but I never, you know, put it in recording or anything like that. It was just for fun. But unfortunately, I never blended the two. Although it could be done, it can be done. But I never did it in my journey.
Okay. Carlo Broussard with us. Again, carlobroussard.com or catholic.com, part of the Catholic Answers team, apologetic speaker. Give us a sense then. You mentioned you kind of schooled yourself at the last couple of years for high school because of such involvement as a Cajun accordionist. When was there a shift in your looking at the path of life and wondering, okay, where's God in all of this, in this career, chasing this career? Is this exciting? It could be very financially successful.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, when I was about 17 and a half, in my musical career, we made a shift or a change sort of in the genre of music that we're playing. We went from more of the folksy type style, which appealed to an older generation, to a more upbeat rock and roll type genre of music in order to appeal to a younger crowd. And with that came more impure environments, playing in the nightclubs, etc. And whenever that shift was made, like I said, about 17 and a half or so, that's when that religious sense really became eclipsed, and I started to immerse myself in impure environments and taking on impure ways of behaving and thinking, etc. But at that time, I had a friend who was a Christian. He was, I guess he was about 22, a little older than I was, and he took me under his wing and befriended me. And we hung out together. We played basketball, lifted weights, and did all sorts of things together. And he would always be talking about God, and he would always be talking about Jesus. And in that friendship, he actually was very instrumental. God used him to at least begin getting me to think about a relationship with Jesus and to begin thinking and questioning whether I should be involving myself in these nightclub environments and even playing music in the nightclubs. So I began contemplating whether or not I should have this relationship with God and with Jesus, etc. So he got me thinking. And interestingly enough, you know, it wasn't intentional, but because he was a devout Protestant Christian, some Protestant ideas and ways of thinking began to sink into my own ways of thinking. I began to assimilate certain things, such as, you know, the no need for confession, the Eucharist was just a symbol, and on down the line, you know, when I started contemplating these topics. So he was instrumental in getting me to begin thinking whether I should diverge from this nightclub environment that I was immersing myself in. But what really, what God really used to sort of move me in the right direction was I heard the conversion story of Tim Staples, Dina. And whenever I heard that story, there was a fire that lit within my heart that has not gone out since. And, you know, for our listeners there, I'm sure they're familiar with Mr. Staples' story about how he was an anti-Catholic trying to convert his fellow Marine out of the Catholic Church. But this fellow Marine knew his Catholic faith and knew how to enter into the dialogue. And that led Mr. Staples on a journey to become Catholic and to become one of the nation's leading Catholic evangelists and apologists. So when I heard Tim Staples' conversion story, and I was introduced to this thing called apologetics, it lit a fire within my heart, and by God's grace, I just had a desire to study the Catholic faith. and to learn about apologetics and how what we believe as Catholics and why we believe it and how to defend it, how to explain it, etc. And that was it. This was interesting because I wasn't an intellectually inclined kind of guy. I mean, I played my music, you know, I went in the bars and I danced, and I was not concerned with education and learning about my Catholic faith. I wasn't intellectually inclined. So the appeal of apologetics is very interesting. So it was by God's grace, and this is what he wanted me to do, that it attracted me. So I literally just entered into what Tim Staples would call the Rocky Marciano School of Apologetics, right? Rocky Marciano being that famous boxer, mm-hmm. right? And so I started studying. I got a hold to his tape sets, that is true, at the time, mm-hmm, for mm-hmm. St. Joseph's Communications, and started listening to all of his teachings, got a hold to Dr. Hahn's tape sets, etc., and then started studying and, you know, reading the Bible and learning the Bible, learning how to defend the faith. And I fell in love. I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with the church. And as for me in my journey, as I grew in knowledge of the faith, I came to grow in love of our Lord. Because as, you know, the late Frank Sheed once wrote, the more knowledge we have of God, the more reasons we have to love him. So there was this intimate relationship between knowledge and love. The more I knew, the more I loved. The more I loved, the more I wanted to know. So this spiral effect of ascending the mountain of knowledge and love. And I would start studying informally, and then eventually I would study formally with Catholic Distance University, with the Augustine Institute. And long story short, here I am at Catholic Answers.
Exactly. Well, and it's so interesting, Carlo, to see that journey for you and that willingness to listen, to engage in that conversation with that Christian who was placed in your life, but yet right. you were willing to go back into the roots of Catholicism and to grow deeper into that faith and to yeah. look for the truth.
That's right. And you know, what was interesting, Dina, is that when I started studying the faith and learning apologetics and coming to a conviction in my faith, I encountered a crossroads in my life because, you know, at the time when I was growing in knowledge and love of the Lord, I was still pursuing my music career as a Cajun accordionist and performer and playing in the nightclubs. And I was experiencing contradictions in my life, you know, like, for example, on Saturdays, I would want to go, when we had a gig to go play, rather than having a desire to go play the gig, I had a desire to go with my mom and my sisters to their prayer meetings, right? Mm-hmm. There were times when I would be in the bar, or before the gig would start at the bar, I would be asking the Lord to protect me in purity, right? But yet I would go into the nightclub and, you know, and begin playing music and have certain behaviors that weren't appropriate for a Christian man trying to get to heaven. There were times when, you know, I would give retreats at confirmation retreats, and I would preach, you know, to the young people from the Bible, how the Bible teaches that if you're a drunkard, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God, according to 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. But yet, in the nightclubs, when I'm playing music, I'm encouraging people to get drunk, mm-hmm, you see? Mm-hmm. So I was experiencing these contradictions in my life, you know, having a love for the Lord, but yet not living that love, not living a life worthy of that love within my musical career. And that's not to say that music is bad in and of itself. It's just the environments that I was putting myself in was not conducive to the life of faith that I was longing to live. And so eventually I had to make a decision. Mm-hmm. What I was going to do. Was I going to pursue this dream to be the full-time Cajun accordionist and performer? Or should I pursue my newfound dream to be a Catholic apologist? Because when I heard Tim Staples, I would go to his conferences and listen to his talks, and I remember saying to myself, I want to do what he does one day. So I had these two dreams, yeah. You know, do I pursue the dream of a Cajun accordionist or do I pursue the dream of a Catholic apologist? And I needed to make a decision. And so by the grace of God, I was able to decide which path I wanted to take. And I chose the path of Catholic apologist because I knew if I would continue down that path of becoming the full-time Cajun rock star, so to speak, that I would be putting myself in situations would not be conducive to obtaining salvation.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and gave up music. We were actually scheduled to record a third album with the band that I had. They were some of the best musicians in southern Louisiana. And I called off that project, gave up all of my musical career. The guys, the band members, found other bands to play with, sold all of my equipment. And I put the pedal to the metal, Dina, and started pursuing theology and philosophy and studying formally to pursue this newfound dream to be a Catholic apologist.
Carla Broussard with us again. Catholic.com is the website, of course, for Catholic answers and for all of those answers that you have. And, you know, we're all in a crossroads. We're all at those opportunities in life where the Lord is going to really call us to choose Him or to choose the world. And where are we going to go? Where are we going to go with those decisions? Is it the good or is it the great? Are we going to choose something that's going to be great to give glory to God? And as we weave our way through Carlo's story, again, he came to that crossroad. Here's something that I love to do. I'm good at it. This could be a beautiful career. It's part of my heritage in this music. And yet there's something deeper drawing him closer to the heart of Jesus Christ. We're going to continue our conversation with Carlo Broussard, again, part of the Catholic Answers team. He's going to be out in Carlsbad, California, as well as San Diego, the home of Catholic Answers, over the next week and a half. And again, that information is found at Catholic.com. Stay with us. I'm your host on In Person, Matre Day Radio, KBVM and KMME. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Emily Jaminet with A Mother's Moment. It's very easy to allow the struggles of the world to set you into a spiral of negativity, and oftentimes you can be left feeling wronged by others. When this type of pain strikes your own family, it's very easy to become bitter towards others and even place the blame on God. As Catholics, we have a choice to either be bitter or make matters better. When pain and strife hits your own family, as moms, we need to be messengers of peace and love and not be bitter towards others, and most importantly, God. This lesson is a powerful one that our children need to witness from us firsthand and see that no matter what life gives you, our goal is to have faith and make this world a better place. So consider making a deliberate effort to forgive those that hurt you and not to be a bitter person. When a child feels wronged or offended, they too need to learn how to forgive and make matters better. As Catholics, we need to take time out to examine our conscience, go to confession to seek the graces we need to change our own heart and help others find peace and joy. So let us pray. Dear Jesus, please help us not to be bitter with what life gives us. Amen. May we be a light in this world by not being bitter, but by making situations better.
Is it finally time to get rid of that old car taking up space in your driveway or garage? How about donating it to Modern Day Radio for a likely deduction on your taxes? Talk about a win-win. Your donation of any type of vehicle will support great Catholic programs and have you smiling over your savings. Not to mention, it's quick and easy. Vehicle donation information is online at moderndayradio.com. Now, won't it be nice to have some extra space in your garage?
And we're back on In Person. I'm Dina Marie. Nice to have you joining us. If you're listening online, it's matredayradio.com. Also, you can join us on our Facebook page at Matre Day Radio, 24 hours a day, locally here in the Portland, Salem, Vancouver, Eugene, Springfield areas on FM radio, but also worldwide in Poland today at matredayradio.com. With us by phone out in the home of Catholic Answers is Carlo Broussard. You hear him now as a regular guest and apologetic speaker through Catholic Answers. He was a raging Cajun from southern Louisiana. Louisiana, but the Lord caught him at a moment where he had to make a decision. As you've been hearing, this wonderful career in music could be very successful, and for the world's eyes, he was kind of a fool to leave such a great, great industry of music and success to be a Catholic apologist. What's that all about? Carlo, when you started to make that decision and follow somebody like the example of Tim Staples, and we're so familiar, we've had the blessing of having Tim with us at some of the men's conferences, some retreats here in the Archdiocese. But what were some ways that not only just you learning, but growing deeper into the sacramental life, how did kind of coming back into face-to-face with Christ and the Eucharist and confession, how did that help you on that road to apologetics?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Dina. You know, as I grew in my knowledge of the faith, and I, for example, when I started studying about the Eucharist, and I can remember in particular listening to Tim Staples' tape set on the Eucharist, and realizing that this is God made flesh, Jesus Christ himself, present among us, substantially present, fully body, blood, soul, and divinity, not just a spiritual presence, it's not just a symbol, but it's Jesus himself. That moved me and led me to begin spending time with our Blessed Lord in the Holy Eucharist. So I started going and making, holy hours, Eucharistic adoration on a weekly basis. And actually, as, you know, Sheen would call moments of power, a power hour, right? but I would go in and make visits to our Blessed Lord. I started attending daily Mass and became a daily communicant. So I entered into that sacramental life because I became aware of the mystery present there, namely Jesus Christ himself. And in particular, when we're talking about the Mass, the very sacrifice of Christ made present under the appearances of bread and wine, as well as the empty tomb and the ascension, because the Mass is the full Paschal mystery, the death, resurrection, and ascension of our Blessed Lord. Now, what's beautiful, Dina, is that, you know, when I was playing music, and before I came to experience the Lord's love, I was struggling at Mass. I can vividly remember sitting in the pew at Mass and experiencing a boredom, a boredom that was just, it's hard to describe in words, like you just can't wait to get out of there. Why are you there? You begin questioning your presence there at Mass. This is boring. I can't wait to just get home. It's a burden. Mass was a burden for me. But when I started studying and I became aware of the reality present at Mass, Mass was no longer a burden for me, but it was a joy. It was a wonderful, it was a wonder to experience. It created within me a wonderful experience. And so I started attending Mass on a daily basis, became a daily communicant, Eucharistic adoration. I frequented the sacrament of confession because, you know, back before I started studying the faith, I remember my sister coming up to me one time and saying, "Hey, Carlo, let's go to confession." And with the Protestant influence of my Protestant friend, because of the influences of my Protestant friend, I remember telling my sister, "I don't need to go to confession, right? Why? I can confess my sins straight to God." I think we've all said that at some point in time. But when I came to realize that the sacrament of confession was a great gift that our Blessed Lord gave us, particularly in John chapter 20, verse 23, where he tells the apostles, "Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." And I came to realize that this was a gift that Jesus has given us and that he wants us to use it. Well, then I began to use it, not only out of obedience to Christ, but also because of the great joy and the peace that our Blessed Lord gives us in the sacrament and the knowledge that we can have of knowing that we are forgiven of our sins, which gives us peace of mind to be able to begin walking that faith journey once again with strength, with vigor, vitality, with zeal, and with passion.
Right. Carlo Broussard with us again by phone and Catholic apologetics speaker from Catholic Answers. I have to ask you, Carlo, as you start studying, going back to Mass, again, staying close to the sacraments, we know that there's also this thing of association. Who are you hanging out with? And you spent time hanging out in the bars with this music community, which sometimes can lead you down a dark dark, crooked path. How did you start to change, or did you start to change some of the groups of people that you hung out with, things that you listened to, things that you continued to read? How was that a factor in changing your mindset to be open to Jesus?
Yeah, well, I remember vividly, I was in a bar listening to some fellow musician friends. They were playing the gig, and I was there just listening to music. Like, I never was a drunkard or anything like that. I didn't abuse alcohol. I just was there listening to the music because I enjoyed it. But I remember being in that environment and sort of taking a step back and looking at what was going on around me and the sinful behaviors around me. And I remember thinking, oh my God, what am I doing here? You know? And at that moment, I made the decision, I can't do this anymore. I can't associate myself with this environment anymore if I want to be a man of God and obtain salvation and union with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not an environment conducive to that Christian lifestyle. So I made a decision to stop, you know, bar hopping and nightclub hopping. I made a decision eventually, as I already explained, to get out of the music business because the nightclubs was sort of the only environment that we could make a living in. And I actually made a decision to stop hanging around certain musician friends that were living immoral lives as well. You know, I mean, I loved those guys dearly, but the type of lifestyle they were living was not appropriate for me trying to live a life as a man of God. So I made a decision to stop hanging around them as well and trying to surround myself with Christian friends. So initially, I started attending these prayer meetings with my mom and with my sisters and establishing that community there. I eventually would, before I started studying theology formally, I studied at a junior college in Eunice, Louisiana, and we had a Catholic center there. And I started hanging out at the Catholic center and meeting other young adult Catholics in college there. And eventually I would become the student resident at the Catholic Center. My sophomore year in college, I lived at the center, ran the center, and, you know, coordinated certain activities at the center for all of the young college Catholic college students. So that was my community. I started hanging around young adult Catholics and establishing that community and building and having friends that could build me up and help me walk that journey of faith to salvation. So that was absolutely crucial for me to make that shift from surrounding myself with bad company to surrounding myself with good company. Because, you know, Dina, as St. Paul writes, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, if I'm not mistaken, bad company corrupts good morals, right? Mm-hmm. But the converse is true as well. Good company supports good morals and helps cultivate good morals.
Yeah. And that's not an easy decision to make, Carlo. And I think, as you mentioned, being tied into confession daily, if possible, of course, the Sunday Eucharist, you need that grace from God to make those decisions, because there's a lot of pressure to stay in those communities that hold us back from Christ. And people face a lot of those pressures and trying to make that decision of moving away from in order to get deeper into Christ.
Yes, I can only attribute it to grace and to prayer. You know, the time that I spent in the presence of our Lord in Eucharistic adoration and frequenting the sacrament of confession, it was only by those sacramental graces I was receiving that I was able to make the decisions that I did. You know, the decision to give up music and that career I was pursuing, the decision to give up the nightclub environments and the community that I was surrounding myself with in order to begin pursuing our Lord. You know, I came to a conviction. You know, the Lord says, you're either for me or against me, in Matthew's gospel. And as our Lord also teaches us, we got to put first the kingdom of God. And as you mentioned earlier, we cannot serve both God and mammon. Yeah. We must choose one or the other. And so I knew I needed to choose our Lord. I wanted to choose our Lord. And I knew there were some things I was going to have to say no to in saying yes to Jesus. And by his grace, I was able to say no to those things. And I'm still, day in and day out,
yes,
trying my best by the grace of God to say no to those things that are obstacles to faith in Christ.
Exactly. We're with Carlo Broussard today from Catholic Answers. Their website is catholic.com. I know at some point on the journey, Carlo, you connected with our good friend, Father Robert Spitzer, and his work with Reason of Faith. Tell us a little bit about that encounter with Father Spitzer and your time working there.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. I was, like, as you mentioned, I spent some time, my family and I lived in Wenatchee, Washington, which is central Washington, right smack dab in the middle. We were there for 4 years. So 4 years prior to coming here to California, I was doing ministry in the Yakima Diocese. I started my own nonprofit institute called the Divine Child Institute under the patronage of the Divine Child Teaching in the Temple, and the fifth joyful mystery. And while I was there, I believe it was like the first, right when we got there, the summer when we first got there in 2011, I was at the airport. It was in the winter. It was in the winter time of 2011. I was at the airport in Wenatchee. Now, Dina, keep in mind, this is a little bitty podunk airport,
right,
you know, like one level, mm-hmm, you walk outside to get into the airplane with two propellers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was 11:45 at night, and nobody was in the airport except Father Spitzer. Now, I had been studying Father Spitzer's stuff already, so I knew about him, I knew about his work, and I loved his work. And I remember actually thinking one time when I was watching his work, watching his video series on EWTN, thinking, man, it would be great if I could like be trained by this guy, because I was enamored with his brilliance, right? Because he's a walking genius.
Yes.
So I met him in the airport, and we started, you know, when I saw him, you know, I went up to him and I said, Father Spitzer. And he was gracious to engage me in conversation. We had a conversation for about 10 minutes. But what was interesting, Dina, is that the only reason why he was in that airport was because he was stuck there waiting on a taxi. He had tried to, because it was snowed in. There was a lot of snow that evening. And there was a taxi he was trying to get in. But he was generous enough to let this lady take the taxi instead of himself. But there was only one taxi that evening.
Right.
So he had to wait in the airport for like 30 or 40 minutes for the taxi to come back to pick him up, to take him to the hotel where he was going to be staying. So it was by divine providence, mm-hmm, that he was stuck there in the airport when I was there going to pick up my father-in-law coming in on a late flight. So we had about a 10-minute conversation, but then a year later, Dina, our bishop brought him in to keynote our Catholic Education fundraiser gala. And we had a mutual friend that put us in touch with each other. And at the gala, we had about a 25-minute conversation. And pretty much right there on the spot, Father Spitzer offered me a job to work for the Magis Center and to travel the country speaking on his behalf to promote his material and to conduct not only parish presentations but also seminars and workshops to train teachers, to train anybody who wanted to learn in the areas that he was working on, particularly God and science at the time, as well as happiness and the four levels, mm-hmm, of happiness. So, needless to say, I accepted the offer on the spot, and I started working with him, and I worked with Father Spitzer for 2.5 years, traveling the country, speaking in areas of intellectual evangelization, and I was able to sit at the feet of Father Spitzer, mm-hmm, on several occasions and be trained by him in those various topics of intellectual evangelization, as well as work with him on the weekends, a couple of weekends out of the month, to type out his dictation when he's writing his books. And needless to say, I was in the presence and I have worked with a genius. He is literally one of the greatest Catholic intellects, one of the greatest minds that we have here in the Catholic Church in America.
It was
such a blessing.
Wow.
It was by divine providence, such a blessing. And that was a crucial step for me in my formation as an apologist to prepare me, or at least begin to prepare me, to work here at Catholic Answers to eventually work with my hero and mentor, Tim Staples, and fulfill and actualize that dream to be a Catholic apologist.
That's right. Again, when that student is ready, the teacher will appear. And that is so true.
Amen.
That the Lord will
Amen.
Use those opportunities. Carlo Broussard with us here by phone. Again, his website, carlobroussard.com. You can hear him on Catholic Answers. Their website is catholic.com. We'll continue the journey together here on In Person, Mater Dei Radio, KBVM and KMME. I'm Dina Marie with you. Stay with us.
We often hear the question, where are our leaders of today? Well, we think we have some great ones right here at Mater Dei Radio in our new leadership circle. These are businesses and organizations that support Mater Dei Radio through their financial generosity. In fact, you hear their names on the air every day, and they are greatly appreciated by our listeners. And like the world today, we need more great leaders for our gospel message to thrive. We need you. Information on our leadership circle at materdeiradio.com.
Hi, I'm Natalie.
And I'm Chris.
Together, we're the Kiefers. The Catholic Church holds an amazing insight for marriage and family life to help couples grow in authentic love.
This insight is Natural Family Planning, or NFP, a safe, healthy, and effective alternative to contraception.
NFP is green and 100% natural. It helps me keep my body safe and healthy by avoiding the dangerous risks that come with contraceptive drugs and devices.
NFP strengthens marriages. We work together as a team with better communication, growing closer in intimacy between each other and God.
Put simply, NFP works. Studies prove that modern methods of NFP are more effective than all forms of contraception, except sterilization.
Learn more about the beauty of NFP by visiting the Archdiocese of Portland's Office of Marriage and Family Life at pdxfamlife.org.
Check out pdxfamlife.org today, because NFP works.
If you're a Catholic professional, you'll want to be a part of Mater Dei Radio's first Leadership Circle Breakfast, Tuesday morning, September 13th, in the Terrace Room at Baccio Commons on the campus of the University of Portland. We'll be launching the Northwest's premier Catholic business network with an exciting program featuring new Portland Pilots head basketball coach and Blazers legend Terry Porter, University of Portland Athletic Director Scott Lakem, and blessings from Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland. This exciting event is presented by Chris Corrado at Environments, creating inspired workspaces through sustainable interior solutions. It's Mater Dei Radio's first Leadership Circle Breakfast for Catholic professionals, Tuesday morning, September 13th, with Terry Porter, Scott Lakem, and Archbishop Alexander Sample. Less than 100 tickets remain at materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com for tickets and more details.
And do join us on our website, materdeiradio.com. Lots of things going on during the Jubilee of Mercy. We have tons of information right there on the homepage. And all of our in-person series interviews, as well as the locally produced programs, are found on the internet. So you can listen to them, download them. If you're traveling outside of the area, make sure that you tune in on our Listen Live link at materdeiradio.com. Serving you since 1989. And I love these stories of faith, because as we watch our footsteps with Christ, as we're willing to go another step deeper into the heart of Christ, He's going to provide yet another opportunity for us to grow. But we have to choose Him. We have to choose Christ. We have to choose the truth. And in order to hold Him with both hands, that means we have to let go of the world, of some of those bad habits that, as Carlo was mentioning, was going to lead me down to a path of destruction. And so I love to see how the Lord weaves that straight path with our crooked lives. He has such great mercy. With me by phone today, Carlo Broussard, apologetic speaker with Catholic Answers Now. We've been hearing about his experience growing up with the love of Cajun music, eventually finding his way into the door of Father Robert Spitzer, and soon to be found by Catholic Answers. Carlo, what's the next step for you as you just continue to get deeper into studying apologetics and now having a great master of the faith and reason, somebody like Father Spitzer? Where were you able to move towards in order to get on the Catholic Answers radar?
Well, you know, I mentioned earlier that I heard Tim Staples when I came to the Lord, you know, about 17 and a half, and Tim Staples was sort of, you know, my go-to guy and who I wanted to be like. Well, I would eventually meet Tim when I was studying apologetics. He would come and do some conferences in southern Louisiana. And I would, you know, kind of pester him with some email questions and whatnot. And he was generous enough to continuously respond to my questions. And he began directing me, you know, and what to read and where to go to find some answers, et cetera. And he sort of kept me on the rope. And whenever he would come to the conference, whenever he would come and do a conference in Louisiana, I was, you know, I was right there in the front row, you know, all excited with my Bible and pen and highlighter and taking notes and all that stuff. So pretty much, needless to say, he knew, he became aware of who I was. I made sure he knew who I was. And we became, you know, friends at a distance. And he kept me on the rope, and he would kind of tug me along, and he would always tell me, you know, one day we're going to work together. One day we're going to work together. So we've always kept in touch and had established a friendship at a distance for 15 years now. And even during the time when I was, you know, in Louisiana studying and working, and even during my time in Washington State with Father Spitzer, we've always been in touch, and we've always said, one day it's going to happen. One day it's going to happen. Well, what's interesting, Dina, you know, you talked about the Lord providing.
Mm-hmm.
Follow this story here. When I was in Louisiana, you know, the Lord painted this picture for me to go to Washington and, you know, bring my wife back to her home turf because that's where she's from. Well, when I was there, I started my own institute, and I ran my own institute, and I was funded full-time salary from some generous benefactors there in Wenatchee for 2 years. And right when those funds were running dry, and I didn't know what we were going to do, the Lord dropped Father Spitzer into my lap.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I started working with Father Spitzer, and for 2.5 years I worked with Spitzer, and right towards the end, when the door started to close, my term with Father Spitzer was coming to an end due to financial reasons. They were no longer able to support me with a full-time salary, etc., because they were shifting gears in different avenues and what they were doing. It wasn't going to work for a long term, being a full-time speaker on staff for the Maja Center. Well, just when that door was closing is when our Blessed Lord dropped Catholic Answers into my lap. It was at that time when Tim Staples reached out to me and said, let's begin pursuing getting you on board here at Catholic Answers. And Dina, I kid you not, the month that I needed a check, a paycheck to pay my bills, was the month that Catholic Answers put me on payroll and I began working officially for Catholic Answers. So God is a wonderful God, amen?
Amen.
And he will provide for us in our times of need. So I had kept in touch with Tim Staples, and eventually he reached out to me and said, okay, now it's time. And we began pursuing establishing a role for me here at Catholic Answers, and it worked out. And I've been here now for 8 months, 8.5 months, almost 9 months. I'm still, you know, a rookie, still learning the ropes as a new apologist here at Catholic Answers, but it has been such a joy and such a blessing to work with such great people. You know, Chris Check, our president, wonderful president, being able to have Tim Staples and Jimmy Akin down the hall there, being able to pick the brain and the mind of Trent Horn, a super apologist.
Yeah.
And I'm just learning as I go. I am always a student, always willing to learn, and doing what I can to help folks out there through my ministry here at Catholic Answers.
Right. Carla Broussard with us, and I think that story that you share of your life reminds us of the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And
this
the Lord
day,
does,
that's right.
He gives us that daily bread. And sometimes, you know, we want the whole buffet line, but you know,
amen.
He knows exactly what we need when we need it, not what we want, not what we hope
right.
for, but what we need to be dependent upon Christ. Jesus, I trust in you. And that is so true in your story. We've just got a couple minutes to put a little bow on things, Carla. We'll have
okay.
to get you back. And I'm so grateful for these 60-second spots you're giving us through Catholic Answers, because they're helping us to share with our listeners, again, those truths of apologetics. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, blessed Lord, just as we look at the world today, we're in political season. We've got so many different acts of violence against human life every single day. And yet right. We believe in Jesus Christ, and we have hope for his truth. Just kind of help us to close with Jesus' relevance in our lives today.
Yeah, well, you know, as Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI stated in his encyclical Spes Salvi, Jesus gives us hope because he's thrown open the dark door of time, the dark door of the future. He's opened the dark door of time and revealed to us that we indeed have a future. Our lives do not end in nothing, but our hope lies in the eternal life that our blessed Lord promises us if we believe in him and remain faithful to him and Holy Mother Church. And that gives us hope. He reveals that that eternal reward is a destiny worth living for. He promises us, as St. Paul writes in Romans 8:28, that he will lead all things to the ultimate good for those who believe in him. So we have hope that if we stay close to Jesus, that no matter how bad life gets, as we say in southern Louisiana, no matter how much misère there is, no matter how much trouble there is, we can have hope that our blessed Lord will redeem all suffering, will redeem all evil, all justice will be brought for all evildoers. And that is our hope, and that is a destiny worth living for he will compensate us for all of the trials and the tribulations that we experience in this life. As St. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans in chapter 8, that the glory to come far outweighs the trials and the sufferings that we experience in this life. Are our sufferings tragic? Yes. But are they ultimately tragic? No. And the reason why is because Jesus has revealed to us we have a destiny of perfect knowledge, perfect love, and that perfect friendship with he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And that gives us hope in the midst of the darkness of suffering.
Amen. Carlo Broussard with us again. Find out more about him online, carlobroussard.com, also catholic.com, regular guest on our program that we get to air Monday through Friday starting at 3 p.m., Catholic Answers Live. Thank you, Carlo. What a delight. Welcome to Mater Dei Radio, and I hope to have you back many times in the future that we can continue to share. And I'd like to ask you if you'd help us close leading us in prayer.
Sure thing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we approach you in his name by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we just ask, Father, that you would continue to enlighten our minds and empower our wills, that we may know you, and through that knowledge, we may love you. And as we grow in our love for you, may we have a desire to know you all the more. Father, we ask that by your grace we may be the saints that we are called to be. And finally, dearly beloved Mother of God, we ask that you would please wrap us in your holy mantle of love, and through your Immaculate Heart, may you consecrate us to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And through the Heart of Jesus, we have access to the throne of the Father, from which we receive all graces. And so we offer up these prayers and these sentiments to you, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carlo. God bless you and the crew at Catholic Answers. Have a blessed summer.
Thank you, Dina. It was a pleasure. God bless you.
Thank you. Catholic.com is the website again. I'm Dina Marie, your host of In Person. Always a delight to go on journey with you. As we do come to a close today, I want to close with these words today, tweeted by Pope Francis, who says, "Dear young people, stay united in prayer so that this World Youth Day may be rich with spiritual fruits. See you tomorrow." That's Pope Francis. Peace be with you as we continue together to share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is In Person on Mater Dei Radio.
You've been listening to In Person with Dina Marie, produced through the facilities of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon. For more about this program and the morning drive, visit us online at materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.